Hello, hello. Today we are talking a little bit about hashtag mom fails. If you're not familiar with that term, it is when we feel like as mothers or as parents that we're failing, we messed up, we made a mistake. In this episode, I'm flipping some of these around for you to realize that yes, we're going to make mistakes. And when we do that, often we're creating opportunities for our kids to learn how to grow and adapt and be resilient. Hi, this is Danae. I'm the founder of Simple Families. Simple Families is an online community for parents who are seeking a simpler, more intentional life. In this show, we focus on minimalism with kids, positive parenting, family wellness, and decreasing the mental load. My perspectives are based in my firsthand experience raising kids, but also rooted in my PhD in child development. So you're going to hear conversations that are based in research, but more importantly, real life. Thanks for joining us. Hi there. I have a fun episode planned for you today. Today we are talking about common mom fails, hashtag mom fails, especially in the summer. And then we're going to flip those around and look at some of the teachable moments, some of the positives that can come out of making mistakes, and maybe sometimes what we feel like falling short. Before we get into this, I'm going to take a 1 minute word from today's sponsor, PrepDish. We are so fortunate to have PrepDish as a sponsor on the podcast. PrepDish has been a staple in our home for many years now. It's a meal planning service. It comes in three parts into my inbox every week. It's a three-page PDF. The first page is the ingredient list. The second page is the prep day list. And the third day is the dish day list. I spend a few minutes ordering my groceries online based on the ingredient list. Then I spend about an hour doing prep day work on the weekend, which leads to dish day when I'm actually getting the food on the table. And it's quick, easy, and fresh. I've had a lot of people ask, well, what if my family won't eat all of these things? Personally, I love their super fast menu, which gives 5 recipes every week. And I don't cook all 5 recipes every week. It's really easy to pick my favorite 3 and cross out the others. And if you want to take the meal planning hacking even further, you can do like I do, is make 3 recipes and double them and just eat them twice a week. Or just have a lot of leftovers for lunch. If you haven't tried PrepDish, I highly recommend it. Go to prepdish.com/families and you'll get 2 weeks free. That's prepdish.com/families and that's 2 weeks free. All right, back to today's episode. On the podcast, we often talk a lot about perfection and how many of us are inadvertently seeking perfection in parenthood, whether we realize it or not. We're always trying to improve ourselves, improve our kids, make life easier. And that in and of itself is a lot of pressure. Sometimes this search for perfection is rooted in anxiety. We feel like if I could just fix all of these aspects in life, my anxiety would go away. If I could just be the perfect weight, respond to my kids perfectly calmly, get my kids to the perfect school, then I could relax. If I could only check all the boxes, life would finally feel easy. If that resonates with you, it might be time to check yourself. Even if you check all the boxes, there will be new boxes. The boxes are always magically appearing. And not only is this perfection seeking not healthy and never ending, but it also doesn't teach adaptability in our kids. Our kids actually learn a lot when we mess up or when we fall short. Now, of course, I'm not recommending everyone just show up and be lazy and not try and mess up on purpose. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we need to let ourselves off the hook when we do make a mistake. And in the process, we teach our kids that it's okay to make mistakes. And then we also have to let them off the hook for their mistakes too, because they're human. So I have a variety of mom fails that I'm going to run by you today. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about what kids learn from these quote unquote mom fails. So let's start with picking your kids up late from camp. Maybe you've got a 3 o'clock pickup time and you get there at 3:10. You're the last car in line. I don't know about you, but for whatever reason, I feel like pickup time has moved earlier and earlier. If I'm supposed to be there at 3 and I get there at 10 of 3, there's already a line all the way down the parking lot. So I have a theory on what has happened. I think there's a heck of a lot of kids out there that are telling their parents to be first in line at pickup. They don't like to be the last ones picked up. I've absolutely showed up at 3:01 and been asked by my kids, why were you late? And I'm like, I wasn't late. I was on time. I was sitting in that line. So if you pick up your kids late from camp, whether it's because you were sitting in some epically long line or because you got caught in traffic or you lost track of time, whatever it might be, it will probably make your kids uncomfortable. They might be annoyed. They might be nervous or anxious. And it's okay for kids to experience all of those feelings. It's not our job to prevent discomfort. Now, I generally don't recommend making our kids uncomfortable on purpose for any specific reason. But I think as a whole, we can all work on getting a little more comfortable with their discomfort. So when you show up at 3:10 instead of 3:00 and they're upset that they were the last ones picked up, or they were disappointed you weren't at the front of the line, remember, they're learning to adapt. They're learning that it's okay to feel a little uncomfortable, to sit with that discomfort, and know that everything's going to be all right. They're practicing waiting, which is something that all of our kids need to practice now. I was a kid in the dial-up internet era. Whenever I wanted to Google something, or I don't know, it was probably like Ask Jeeves at that time, I had to sit down at my computer, hit the dial-up button, wait for, I don't know, 30, 45 seconds for it to connect to the internet, and then go on and Google it. There was this barrier in place, this waiting that had to happen in order to access the information. When I wanted to watch a TV show, I'd wait until Friday night at 9 p.m. for TGIF, or Saturday morning at 8 a.m. I looked forward to it all week. Our kids today don't have nearly enough practice at waiting. That, coupled with more and more kids in our world being anxious, leads to parents who are afraid to make our kids wait, afraid of what their reactions are going to be. So a little waiting, getting uncomfortable, is okay. If this happens, don't beat yourself up over it. Remind yourself that your kids are learning. All right, next mom fail. Feeding your kids McDonald's every day and now they won't eat anything else. You know, maybe it's not McDonald's. Maybe it's frozen pizza, chicken nuggets, whatever it is. I find that summer is a really good time for a big shift. And I've talked with a lot of other families about this, and I know this is true to our own family, but we kind of go through waves when it comes to quality of meals. We'll eat really good for a couple months, and then things will get busy or hectic or some big life change will happen, and our meal quality will take a dive. And every time this happens, crawling out of that hole that we get ourselves into when the quality of meals starts to lag, we're eating more McDonald's, more frozen food, more snacks. It's a hard hole to crawl out of, but it's not impossible. So if you feel like you've kind of got yourself into this hole with food or something else, always remind yourself that you can start to climb out and you can make a shift. It's going to be hard, maybe not as hard as you think, but it is possible. As our kids get older, change seems more daunting. They get more set in their ways. But change is always possible at any age for our kids and for us. Okay, next mom fail. I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but my kids won't stop fighting. So if it's summertime, maybe your kids are spending more time together than usual. Maybe they're bickering more than usual. Or maybe just this is the usual. Stop and tell yourselves, wow, look at them growing. Look at them practicing their conflict resolution skills. Look at them problem solving. They are going to be so skilled when they run into challenging people in the workplace, when they have a difficult college roommate. This practice that they're getting with their siblings is messy and annoying and frustrating. And often I think all of that annoyance and frustration within us regarding the sibling relationships is because we feel like it's a reflection of something we've done or we haven't done. When the truth is, the sibling conflict is really rooted in the fact that you may have two or three or four small people who have very different worldviews, personalities, who are trying to coexist in one house or an apartment, and they have developing social skills, developing problem-solving skills. These things are not mastered, although I might argue they are never really mastered. But they're a work in progress. They're figuring it out. Think about it like learning to play an instrument or a sport. Over the months, over the years, you refine your skills But you're always going to have missteps. You're always going to make mistakes. And that's okay. Relationships are the same. And the people who we are the most intimate with are often the people who we fight with the most. And the fortunate thing is that we have a strong connection with them that brings us back together after these disputes. And that strong, intimate connection that we have with the people that we love the most is what binds us together to be able to work through all of these mishaps and fails that we call life. We're going to pause for a 1 minute word from today's sponsor, and I'll bring you a few more mom fails that are flipped. Our sponsor for today is KiwiCo. We love to adventure in the summer. However, summer in New York this year has been challenging. It has been one thunderstorm after the next. Not what we were hoping for. And while we love to play in the rain, we don't really love to play outside when there's lightning and thunder, which is why we're so grateful that KiwiCo is a part of our lives. We all think of summer as the time to make memories with our kids. And sometimes that means we're on the go, we're taking a vacation, doing something new and exciting. And sometimes that means we're staying home and doing something intimate. KiwiCo delivers monthly science and art projects that turn curiosity into creativity. My kids have loved nearly all of their boxes, but I think our all-time favorite is the air hockey table that we made. One of the boxes gave us all of the tools to turn our dining room table into an air hockey table. So not only was the process fun to undergo, but it also gave us hours of fun after the fact. So have an awesome summer with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line with the code SIMPLE at KiwiCo.com. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com, promo code SIMPLE. Back to today's episode. All right, so today we're visiting some quote-unquote mom fails, things that we feel guilty about, but actually might be teaching our kids some important life lessons. All right, next one. Ugh, I didn't schedule enough camps or activities, and now my kids are going stir crazy. Boredom can be really difficult, but we know that boredom brings about creativity, curiosity, and the willingness to try new things. Now, the tricky thing about boredom is sometimes you can get stuck there. Some kids get bored and immediately get creative. Some kids get bored and they get really whiny and itchy. And depending on which you have, maybe a little bit of both, it can make boredom painful for parents too. So if you have a kid that transitions from boredom to creativity quickly, this probably won't feel scary for you. You probably don't hesitate to give your kids a lot of downtime. But if you have a kid that has a hard time and transitions into boredom mode and gets stuck there, they take longer to find that creative zone. And when they do, they might not stay there as long. But it's there. There is another side. They will find it. Sometimes they need a little bit of our support. So if you have a kid that gets bored and it's painful for you, it can be helpful to give them some ideas on things to get started so they're not starting from square one. That might mean sitting down and doing something with them or giving them three ideas, getting out a puzzle and putting together the first three or four pieces, printing out a couple of coloring pages and laying the crayons out so it's easy to get started. But we have to trust in the process. If your kids are underscheduled and you feel like you made a mistake, know and trust that boredom is a passing phase. They can move through it. It's just harder for some kids than others. But it's incredibly good practice, even for us adults. All right, mom fail. My kids have been really moody lately, or I have been really moody lately. We feel stuck. What'd I do wrong? This "what did I do wrong" statement is something I hear a lot. And I don't think it's really very often a result of something we've done wrong. However, sometimes we can reflect and make changes. Parenting feels like a roller coaster, lots of ups and downs. And if you're a family who feels like you kind of get stuck in those downs in the low parts and they last for days and days or weeks and weeks, you may benefit from some professional support. Or if you feel like there's no ups and downs, it's just downs, again, I think you'll benefit from some professional support. But I think if it feels to you like you are experiencing what is just kind of the general ups and downs of parenting, I think it's important to consider how our brains move through emotion. So we know that the amygdala is the part of the brain that controls big emotions, anger, fear, excitement, the big emotions that dysregulate us and really throw us off kilter. So when our amygdalas get really activated, those feelings get really big and we get really dysregulated, or our kids get really dysregulated, we aren't able to access our thinking brain or our prefrontal cortex as easily. So we don't make as good of decisions. We snap. We yell. We say things we wish we hadn't said. And our kids do the same. Now, there's some research that shows when our amygdala starts to get agitated like this and overactive, that it can take anywhere from 12 to 36 hours for it to calm back down again. So when we feel like we're cycling like this, right? Maybe you're in a patch where you feel like you're yelling 10 times a day and you just can't stop. Consider this, that your amygdala may be overactivated and you haven't had quite enough time to calm down and regroup. So if you're someone that needs that 36 hours rather than the 12 hours, you may find that you get dysregulated, you yell at your kids, you go to bed, you wake up, and in the morning, you're very easily triggered and you're yelling again. You haven't had enough time to recover, to calm your brain, and to get back to baseline. So pay attention to your triggers, how often you're triggered, if you're getting triggered repeatedly, and recognize that maybe you need a break. You need some downtime in order to reset. We talk a lot about self-care and how we all need it, but truly some of us have brains that need an actual break so that they can calm down and regulate better, get back to baseline, so we can be our best selves again. And you might need 2 hours. You might need 12 hours. You might need 36 hours. You might not get all of those hours, but starting to notice those tendencies within yourself can be really helpful. As parents, it's so important that we're always learning about ourselves, learning our strengths and our weaknesses, and to see how we are changing and how we are growing right along with our kids. We assume that our kids are always growing and changing because we can physically see that growth and change. For us, it's not always as easy to see. It's interesting, in my therapy practice, I work a lot with both the child directly and with the parents. Often I work with both in a week, and I'll have a lot of parents who try to give me a lot of credit and say, oh, it must be something that you've been doing with them. And 9 times out of 10, it's not. 9 times out of 10, it's what the parents are doing, the changes and improvements that they're making in the home that make a big difference. So when I talk about mom fails and how our kids have the opportunity to learn from our mistakes and to grow and to adapt and become resilient, all those things are true. But it's also true that we do have the possibility of making changes within ourselves to show up in a more calm, present way. But at the same time, recognizing that's not always going to be how we're showing up, nor should we be striving to. Showing up as a perfect parent doesn't give our kids the opportunity to learn how to be adaptable, to deal with change, and to deal with disappointment. So I do think in many ways that sometimes our mistakes do our kids some favors. So it's okay to give ourselves space for that. Thanks so much for tuning in. I will talk with you all again next month. Have a good one.